Sometimes I really don't know exactly what to do with the readings for a given week. And then other weeks you have VBS week, where the theme and the central idea is that we are heroes for God, right? And we go charging into the breach by the strength and power of the Spirit in order to offer the good news boldly. And then the gospel reading is about Peter charging into the water and sinking and being told, "Why do you have so little faith?" I think that juxtaposition is about sums up where I live most of my life. I get the promises and the decrees of God over me and my life, over us as the people of God, as God's children in this world. And I live constantly in a struggle of where I fit and where I belong, finding myself charging into waters that I have no idea what I'm doing in, and at other times holding back for fear of what is ahead. If nothing else, throughout the scriptures, I am comforted by the fact that the disciples seem to get it wrong just about every time. And that gives me comfort in knowing how often I can't seem to figure this thing called life out very well. And that's the tricky thing about this, about the Christian church, about being a part of this community, is that this isn't a place, at least in my experience, to come to figure it all out. You've heard me say it before, and I say it again, I don't have a lot of answers. There is a story that I have put my faith in. There is this insane story of a God who loves us and sent his Son into the world that we might be redeemed and restored. That story, that reality, led to his Son being killed at our hand and rising again and ascending into heaven and being promised to return that we might be judged righteous and invited into new life. That's a hard story to follow. And yet I am finding that I can't really believe anything else. I go through my life and I keep hearing the story, thinking that at one day I'm just going to wake up and I'm just going to really realize how crazy this all is, all this stuff that we do and talk about, and I'm just going to walk away. And it hasn't happened, and I don't think it's going to. There is something that I have found to be real and to be powerful in this story of God's love for us in the person of Jesus. It's not the only story out there, but it's our story. It might not be your story. I love that St. David's is a place where many of us gather from different walks of life in different places. I hope you feel welcome whether the Christian message and story is your story or not. I hope you find something here this morning, whether that's your story or not. I hope that the God that is real for all of us can touch you in this place, that in your heart you can hear the love that God has for you, and through whatever is going on in your head, be called into new life, a life of peace, a life of love, a life of grace, a life of service, both to ourselves, to our God, and to this world. The VBS programs that often come through year after year, they're very simple, and the kids spend like 4 days driving home the same message. There's like one point every day for like the 4 hours they're here doing stuff, whether it's in like Bible study or doing crafts or doing snack or whatever they're doing in the big program. There's these central themes. And I think sometimes we think, oh, how simple or how silly. But these simple themes tend to be good enough for us too, maybe is the easiest way to put it. I think too often, at least I know I overcomplicate the things of God. And I think there's something very powerful in a message that you are a hero chosen by God to go into this world and change this world, to be a part of its transformation, to be a part of sharing the good news. Good news to a world that is in need, a world that suffers, a world where In 2017, we have deadly clashes in a college town in Virginia over a statue. Someone is dead because of the rage that boiled up over the tensions of race that have been going on for hundreds of years in our country. No government program, no sermon or message is going to change that reality. It's going to be you. It's going to be me. Walking alongside of the other people in our lives, sharing a message that love overcomes fear and drives it out of our lives. Because I am convinced that most of the people that do some of the most awful or hateful things in our world don't do it because they just wake up feeling like they want to be terrible or do something evil. They wake up afraid. They wake up worried and anxious and nervous about the world that they live in. The message that I keep hearing from the people, from people I don't understand, is that they're worried about all the changes happening around them, that things are changing too fast, that they're anxious, that they're afraid. When I look around at our society, when I listen to the things that we talk about, when it comes to raising our children, spending time with one another, whatever we do, there is a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear in our society. And fear makes us do crazy things. We can talk about a lot of things about the gospel, but at the end of the day, the message of love is about casting out, driving out the reality of fear that takes hold of our hearts and of our lives and drives us to do things we would never normally do. That love comes and supplants that fear in our hearts and allows us to live lives of grace and of joy and of peace. That's the good news. That's what the gospel message is. There is a God who loves us and reminds us of that. And that every day, what every sermon, what every sacrament, what every gathering is about, when we pray for each other, when we talk with each other, when we share our lives together, when we teach our kids that they are valuable and lovely, when we hear that ourselves, my prayer and my hope is that that message that has so wormed its way into my heart and changed me would do the same for you and for everyone that we meet. That our motivation would be less and less out of fear and more out of love. And that when we respond and react to the things in this world, that that response would be born of love above all else. I think that's what it means to be a hero. You might not make it to the news. You might not have an article written about you in the paper. You might not be known around the world. But I promise you, every day you have the opportunity to spread a message of love and hope where there is nothing but death and fear. Peter jumps out of the boat when he realizes it's Jesus walking in the water, and he says, "Call to me and I will come to you." And he rushes out on the water without really thinking, it seems. And then he notices what he's done and he panics and he starts to sink. And Jesus says, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached down his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And I always hear stuff like that, and I think, well, why did I doubt? I'm standing on water in the middle of the sea with wind and waves around me. I have no question I would be doubting in quite the same. Heck, I wouldn't have gone off the boat. The story of Christ, the reality of God's Son in this world, is one who is always there with a hand reaching out immediately to save. And the motivation, and this is where I started when I was kind of getting ready for this morning. In the epistle reading, I think it's so interesting that Paul is saying, "Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven or who will descend to the abyss? But what does it say? The word is near you on your lips and in your heart. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." I know I, for one, my introduction to Jesus and to the church was fear-based. I went on a retreat. I was told about sin and the evils of the world. I was told about hell and how it's a terrible place I don't want to go after I die. And they said, well, you have an option. You can believe in this guy Jesus and you'll be saved. For much of my early years as a Christian, it was fire insurance, right? It was this idea of hell that I didn't really like the idea of. I did not want that thing, and so I'm going to go do this thing. And when I think about and talk to people, that's unfortunately a very common approach. I really hope it's not been your experience in the church, but I know for many people, our very beginning here starts out of fear. Paul is very clear. Don't worry about who's going to the dead and who's rising to heaven. To be honest, we can have a much longer conversation about it, but those ideas, those modern conceptions we have of heaven and hell are pretty skewed. The Bible does not talk about hell the way we think of it, or heaven the way we think of it, very much. You can thank Milton and Dante for most of our views that we have now today for those things. But from the beginning, the scriptures and Paul are saying, don't worry about this other stuff that's out here. Worry about what is within you right now. Because I can't control what happens in the future. I can't promise to know exactly how all of this is going to play out or what it's all going to look like in the end. I don't know. I have faith that God is looking out for me and cares for me. That's all I really have to offer. My job, our job, isn't to worry or to fear about what's next, about what might be coming, or about what might be down the road. Our call is simply to live faithfully in the little, wherever you are, wherever you live, whatever your job is, whatever you find yourself doing, the people you talk to, the people you encounter, the places you go, wherever you are, take with you a message of love and of grace and of hope. Share that with the world. I promise you, it makes all the difference. If the message of our church at large was to go out into the world and sow a message of love and of peace where there is hatred and discord, a message of joy and hope where there is fear, I think a lot of our narratives would be a little different in our society and in our lives. Make no mistake, what this is all about is about justice and righteousness in this world. And the problem with that is that justice and righteousness, when it's being lived out, is going to make all of us uncomfortable. Being a hero isn't always fun. Living into the call of God in our lives is uncomfortable a lot of the time. It's uncomfortable because it means we're laying down our power, we're laying down our strength, we're laying down our rights and our privilege for those who have less or for those who do not have. We are lowering ourselves that we might lift others up. Christ gave us that example. He gave everything, condescended to us, and gave up everything, even his life on the cross. God, the God of the universe, gave up everything that we might be resurrected, that we might be restored. That is the model. It's not to pray for more wealth or prosperity. It's not to hope that we become successful and mighty and powerful in this world. I know I hear that all the time from church leaders. That's not what this is about. It's about coming humbly before our God, recognizing our own need, receiving the forgiveness and love that God offers us through the cross and through the sacrament, letting that remind us in our hearts that we are loved and cherished. We are beautiful children of God, loved more than you and I can understand or imagine, just as you are. You do not need to be anyone else. God has created you, God loves you, and God is calling you into new life. And wherever you are right now is enough. Wherever you are right now is okay. And as you live into that person God has created you to be and is creating you to be, this world will be transformed. It comes from love, it comes from grace, and it comes from the strength of God's mercy in our lives. And so as we gather around this table in the next few minutes, Please know that you are welcome and invited to be a part of it. Please know that at this table, what is offered to you is a message of love and of grace. I pray that you will receive it and carry it with you where you go, wherever you go. Thank you for worshiping with us and being a part of this community this morning. If this is your only week you're ever with us, we are a better people because of it. Thank you. If you spend the rest of your life worshiping with us, I look forward to that and to living day after day and week after week with you. This is a place for you and for anyone that needs refuge, that needs to be reminded that they are valuable, even though this world so often tells you you're not, that tells you you can be at peace and that you don't need to do one more thing before you can rest. You don't need to be one more different thing before you find that peace or before you can be comfortable with yourself. You are okay and beautiful and lovely and forgivable as you are. God is overjoyed and enamored with you. Wants nothing more than to spend this life with you. That invitation is here for you this week and every week. I invite you to come join us. I thank you for being here with us. And wherever you are, know that you are loved in everything. Amen.